Lord, at this moment we ask that you just fall upon us with your Holy Spirit, that you open up the doors to our heart, that you clear away any distractions that may compete for our attention. Lord, we ask that you bless the reading of the word, that these words will come to life for us this morning, and that your gospel message will be found within them, and that in some way you will convict us, shape us, empower us, and change us as we hear what your Holy Spirit has to do and has to say to us this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I heard a preacher say one time that happiness is knowing where in the Bible Habakkuk is. And then he amended it to say, happiness is sitting next to someone who knows where in the Bible Habakkuk is. You could really say that about any of these minor prophets because they're so small and so obscure. But we're reading today from the book of Habakkuk. So please stand if you are able for the reading of the word. Our scripture comes from the book of Habakkuk, chapter 3, verses 12 through 9. In fury you trod the earth, in anger you trampled nations. You came forth to save your people, to save your anointed. You crushed the head of the wicked house, laying it bare from foundation to roof. You pierced with his own arrows the head of his warriors, who came like a whirlwind to scatter us, gloating as if ready to devour the poor who were in hiding. You trampled the sea with your horses, churning the mighty waters. I hear, and I tremble within. My lips quiver at the sound. Rottenness enters into my bones, and my steps tremble beneath me. I wait patiently for the day of calamity to come upon the people who attack us. Though the fig tree does not blossom and no fruit is on the vines, though the produce of the olive fails and the fields yield no food, though the flock is cut off from the fold and there is no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will exult in the God of my salvation. God, the Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer and makes me tread upon the heights. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Healthy faith reflects the image of God. I'm going to say that again. Y'all say it with me. Healthy faith reflects the image of God. Now, I want you to remember that. We're going to come back to it in a little while in the sermon, and feel free to write that down if you want to. Healthy faith reflects the image of God. We're talking today about Habakkuk in this series on the minor prophets. And we've talked a lot about how these minor prophets really reveal a lot to us about God and about his character. The book of Habakkuk really reveals to us not only about God's character, but it reveals to us what healthy faith looks like. So that's what we're talking about. The scripture that we just read is full of confidence. You hear Habakkuk here at the end of the book expressing his confidence that God is going to triumph over evil, that the enemies are going to be they're going to be destroyed, and that God is going to deliver his people. And Habakkuk, as always, I encourage you to go back and read the entire book. It's only three chapters. All three chapters are short. But here at the end, Habakkuk is expressing his confidence in God. But it doesn't start off that way. In fact, if you go back and you look at the beginning of the book, Habakkuk is crying out to God, God, help us. He's looking at the state of Israel and the way that they've been divided and the way they're being oppressed. And he's saying, how long are you going to let this happen to your people? How long is this going to go on? Why won't you listen to us when we cry out to you? And that's how the book starts off. That's how Habakkuk is crying out to God. But he moves from that into this ending where he has this praise and this confidence in God. Now, he has this confidence because he recalls the history. He recalls how God has delivered them and saved them before. Now, for all of Israel's backsliding and rebellion and all the times that God had to punish them and all of this, one thing can be said about them. They definitely had a strong sense of history, and they recalled how God was part of that history. They recalled continuously how he delivered them from Egypt. If you go and you read the Psalms, even the ones written in the days of David, you know, hundreds, thousands of years later, they're reflecting on the way God has delivered them in ages past. And so prophets like Jonah can talk about how, God, I knew that you were a merciful and forgiving God. That's why Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. And prophets like Habakkuk can say, I know that you will deliver your people because you always have. And one thing that can be said for the culture, for the customs and the traditions there among the Israel people was that they recalled God's character. Now, when I was a child, I grew up in a church and we learned this song. My God is so big, so strong and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. I imagine that Habakkuk probably grew up learning a song similar to that. Of course, it wouldn't have been the same song. But I imagine that being of Jewish descent and growing up, loving God and fearing God and knowing the history of what God had done for them, Habakkuk had this sense of confidence in God and probably grew up knowing about it. And that's why it's so important for us to instill faith into the future generations, into our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren. Because we live in an age today in America where people say, no, don't press your beliefs and your values on children. Let them grow up and make up their own mind. But what happens when we do that? People grow up and they do what's wise in their own eyes. Remember the most rebellious stages of Israel's history. That's what Scripture says. They did what was wise in their own eyes. And so if we don't raise the future generations to be aware of how God is there for them, how he loves them, if we don't raise them in that faith to be rooted in it, then they will grow up to be wise in their own eyes. And they will have nothing firm to stand on. But that wasn't the case with Habakkuk, and that wasn't the case with God's prophets who cried out to him, who lamented and mourned things, but still had faith and confidence in God. They had that firm foundation to stand on. And that's one thing you can say about the Jewish people. That was the testimony of the Jewish people, is that throughout history, they could recall that they had that firm foundation of faith to stand on. Now, when you look at the book of Psalms, you'll see that a whole bunch of them are lament psalms. A whole bunch of them are crying out to God, save me, deliver me. Why has this happened? Why are your people oppressed? Destroy my enemies. Please, God, have mercy. There's probably a third of the psalms are like this. And all but two of them end in praise. Why God, please deliver me, God. And then they end with, you've always been there. You always rule, you always reign, you always win in the end. They had this strong sense of crying out to God, expressing their concerns and their anxieties, but also knowing that God would prevail and that they could trust him for their deliverance. And that's what Habakkuk was doing here. He was crying out to God. He was mourning. He was expressing his cares and his anxieties. But he was doing it with confidence. Now we hear the term even keel. And sometimes we hear that term and when we say somebody's even keel, we just think that they're unconcerned with things. They're cool. They're level-headed. They don't act like they're worried about much at all. It's not really what the term means. When we say even keel, the term comes from the bottom of a ship, the keel that goes down into the water. And the deeper it goes, the more likely you are to capsize, to tip over. So when we say somebody has deep faith, we could say that they're very even keeled. Their faith goes deep, so they don't get turned over one way or another. Now, in these lament psalms, what we see is people crying out to God and expressing their care and their concerns and asking God why, and that's fine. God never says, Don't be concerned with things. God never says you should never be anxious. Or well, actually, he does. Jesus said that. He said, be anxious for nothing because you cast your anxieties on God. He says worries will happen, but the way to handle worry is to turn them over to God. Cast your cares on him, for he cares for you. See, when we have concern, what we're doing is we're showing empathy. We're having mercy. We're showing that quality that God has. And when we have concerns, and that's all we have, we're in danger of capsizing. But if we have confidence to balance it out, it evens the boat out, and we become even keel. And the more concerns we have, the deeper that side of the boat goes. And the deeper our confidence is, the deeper that goes. So the deeper our faith is, the more balanced we are and the more steady we are. And our faith becomes deep. And the deeper our faith is, the more we reflect the image of God. And the reason I say that is because God is confident. God is bold. God is sure of his own victory. But God is also concerned. That's why he says to cast our cares on him, because he cares for us. God is concerned. Now, whenever we are reborn or born anew in the Spirit or born again, or however you want to phrase that, whenever we become a new creation in Christ, we take on spiritual gifts. One of those gifts is mercy. Some of us take it on more than others. But to take on the spiritual gift of mercy means that we have empathy for other people. Now, our DS gave me a study one time of the spiritual gifts, and there were dangers involved with every one of them. And the danger of being a person who shows mercy and a lot of empathy is that eventually, if you empathize with people who are grieving and that's all you do, you yourself can become depressed. Right? It's like they say psychologists and psychiatrists, they end up needing their own counselors and their own help because they hear the concerns and the worries of everybody all day, and it leads to depression themselves if they don't have somebody to talk to about it. And that's how mercy works, is if you have that much empathy for the grieving, eventually you can become depressed yourself. So what's the solution to that? If you're going to grieve with people who are grieving, you also have to rejoice with the people who are rejoicing. That's what healthy empathy looks like. That's what healthy mercy looks like. And the reason I mention that is because all of that, the mercy, the empathy, the grieving with others, the rejoicing with others, all of that is tied in to the concerns that God wants us to feel. He doesn't want us to be completely nonchalant and careless to the world around us. That's not a reflection of his image. But the deeper our concerns go for others, the more we are reflecting that aspect of God. But of course, those concerns have to be balanced with confidence and with boldness that God is just to deliver us and to save us. Confidence and anxiety always balance each other out in a healthy way. Claire isn't in here right now, but she could testify to this. She is a worrier. And I am just the opposite. I don't worry enough. And when we help, we balance that out with each other because, for example, last week, Liam had a sore throat. And she kept telling me he has strep throat. And I kept saying, no, he doesn't. She said, yeah, I need to take him to the doctor. I said, no, you don't. He's fine. He gets a sore throat every year. It's going to blow over. He's going to be fine. Fortunately, she didn't listen to me. She went to the doctor, and Liam had strep throat. Her concern ruled out my carelessness. And it's a good thing she had the concern that I didn't, because then Liam was able to get treated. Now, on the other hand, every time Claire takes on a new project or a new ministry or whatever it is, she always has this moment where the worry really rushes in on her. Like with the children's choir thing, all of a sudden, one night she's, I don't know if this is going to work. I don't know if the kids are going to cooperate, if they're going to want to sing, if they're going to want to do, I don't know how I'm going to do this. And then I'm there to say, listen, it's always worked before. As long as you're doing this for the right reasons and you trust that God is there with you, this is going to work out. And so my confidence balances out her concern. And her concern balances out sometimes what is overconfidence on my part. They balance each other out in a real way. But when we have this own balance within ourselves, when we are able to express our concerns for others, to look out like Habakkuk did on the nation and see things that trouble us, to have that empathy for other people, and then balance that out with trust and confidence in God, that's when our faith goes deeper and deeper into the water, like a keel that keeps the boat sturdy. Now, Habakkuk looked out and he saw the state of the nation and he was worried. A lot of us look out today at our country, politics, and we see the way things are going and we get worried. And in fact, I can say that almost sort of like Claire and I, the extremes go both ways. I have heard people come up to me and say, well, I'm so worried about our country. I'm so worried about our nation. I just don't see how it could ever become right again. I don't see how this can be fixed. All the politicians are corrupt. All of them, both sides are just, and we're in despair. This world is just going to hell in a handbasket. And you have that side that worries and is anxious and concerned. And those concerns are good. But then there's despair there because they have no confidence in a positive outcome. And then the other side, you have people who are like, well, I'm not going to worry about it. God's in control. And it's all going to work out fine. And so the problem with that is you can err on the side of not being faithful in your prayer. And you can err on the side of being apathetic and nonchalant and not expressing empathy for the people who need it. God says, be concerned, have mercy, show empathy, care about the people who are around you, care about your nation, care about your church, care about your family, but lift those cares up to me in confidence and in boldness. And when we do that, we can have confidence that God can work anything out. Because that kind of faith is real and it's deep and it reflects for the world the image of God. And when the world sees the image of God stamped on its culture, it starts to change. And if you don't believe that things can change all the way up to the top, all you have to do is look at Scripture. Joseph believed in God. And there and was thrown into a pit and enslaved in Egypt. And his belief, his faith, wound up exposing the king, the Pharaoh there in Egypt, to God. And he came to believe as well. Daniel was a prophet of God in captivity in Babylon. And his faith made its way all the way to the king of Babylon. Jonah was a prophet of God who took God's word into a foreign land. And his faith reached the king of Nineveh. You see, God can work all the way up to the top and he can change the entire course of history. He can change the entire course of a nation. But what it takes first is us caring enough, us being concerned enough to pray and to turn those concerns and those worries over to him. And then, of course, having the confidence that he will deliver us, that he will change things. Crying out to God is part of what deepens our faith. But so is praising him for being so trustworthy. We can't have one without the other. If we have too much faith, too much confidence with no concern, then we will become apathetic. If we have too much concern but no confidence, then we will just become worriers. But when we express our concerns to God in a healthy way and trust that he will deliver us, it deepens our faith. And when we do that, we recall our own life history. We recall the history of the church, the history of our nation, and the history of Israel, and the way that God has been there for all of us. That balance of faith is what is essential to show the world the image of God. Now, that doesn't mean we have to be God to these people. That's not possible. When we are the image of God, we are reflecting God's nature. You see, Adam was created in the image of God, but since the fall, we've all been created in the image of Adam. And when we come to God and when our faith is deepened, we begin to shed that image of Adam and we start to have the image of God. Now, that doesn't mean that we are God-like. Well, it means that we reflect the image of God. In the same way that a picture or a photograph of me might look like me, but it's not me. But if God wants to show the world what he looks like, he needs us to look like him. And we do that by balancing out our concern, our mercy, our empathy with our confidence and our boldness. That's how we show the world what God looks like. And that's how we ask God to make a difference in the world that we live in. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that you lend your ears to our concerns and our cares. We thank you that you give us passion, that you give us desire, that you give us love and mercy that we can show and share with others. We ask that you deepen our compassion, that you deepen our concerns. But in doing so, that you also deepen our faith and our trust in you, that you will deliver us, that you will receive our concerns and cares, and that you will be there on our side. Because we know you always have been on the winning side of history, and you will continue to be so in the future. Lord, we thank you that we serve a God who hears us, who cares, and who promises to deliver us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of invitation this morning is hymn number 724, On Jordan's Stormy Banks I Stand. If you've made a decision of any type today, I ask you to come forward and share that decision as we stand and sing hymn number 724.